This episode of The Grape Nation is brought to you by Vivino. Discover and buy wines wherever you are. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up.
I'm HRN's Communication Director, Kat Johnson, with a preview of the next episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're exploring the future of eating animals, and we're going beyond typical meat sources.
If you look at the length of human history, we've been eating insects a lot longer than we haven't been in the United States and Western Europe.
We're looking at unusual ways to purchase meat.
People are like, really? Why would I want to buy that out of a machine?
And we introduce you to Frank Reese, a poultry farmer whose traditional farming methods are featured in a new documentary.
I'm a fourth generation farmer in Kansas, and I focus basically all on standard bred poultry and have my whole life.
He's kind of the last one standing with these rarefied breeds that are so important for if we're going to eat chicken and turkey into the future. He's essential. He's a national treasure.
Listen to Meat and Three this week to better understand the history and the future of meat. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Grape Nation, your weekly wine journey. Our guests are Dr. Valerie Levine.
Levine.
Corinne Combe and Valerie Villard from the Bordeaux region of France. We'll talk to Valerie, Corinne, and Valerie about women and white wine in Bordeaux. We've been tasting a bunch of their wines and we'll discuss them later. I'm your host, Sam Ben Ruby. Stay with us for The Grape Nation on the Heritage Radio Network. We bring wine to the people. Dr. Valerie Levine is a global consultant and one of the top experts in the vinification of aging and dry white wine. Corinne Combe is from Chateau Champs de Trai, a celebrated Bordeaux viticulturist, international consultant, and champion for biodynamic viticulture. And Valerie Villard is the first woman winemaker from the Pessac Léognan region, and has led Chateau Latour Martillac for more than 25 years. So that's who we're sitting with. Welcome to the Grape Nation, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for sitting with me, and we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into White Bordeaux and your passion and your involvement with it, I want to just go around the table quickly. And let's tell everyone who you are. Let's start with you, Corinne.
Oh. So I'm the owner of Chateau du Champ des Trailles. I'm growing this estate. So I'm the wine grower and the winemaker.
Okay.
And I took over this estate 20 years ago. And at the same time, I and my husband, we were at a step in our life where we wonder if what we have learned at school, because we both are engineers, was well adapted with the people we were,
right.
And it was not the case, so we had chosen to grow biodynamically and to answer to the question why things arrives and to have a very global approach of the nature.
Right, so you are the winemaker and your husband, we should throw that in, is a dare to say a famous winemaker?
And wine grower, maybe first wine
okay.
grower.
He's okay for
yeah.
a guy.
Yeah.
All right. Valerie?
Yes. I can say I have two different careers.
Okay.
I'm a wine researcher at the Institute of Vine and Wine in Bordeaux.
Okay.
And in the same time, I'm also a vine and wine consultant in Bordeaux, of course, but also in Europe.
For other wineries?
Yes, okay. Of course. And I started this 25 years ago, a little bit more, with Denis Dubourdieu.
So you're busy.
Yeah,
you
I am.
All right, and Valerie?
So I am the winemaker, I'm oenologist. I did my study at the University of Oenology in Bordeaux and in 1989, so most of 25 years ago.
Right.
And I am the oenologist, the winemaker of the Chateau La Tour Martillac. I am not the owner. But I have a big challenge to do and to the best wine with the best fruit that the vineyard gave to me.
Right. So Valerie, you make wine. Corinne, you make wine. And Dr. Valerie, you consult.
Yeah.
For a lot.
We can
of wine.
Say
so
that. Yes.
You all have your hands. In a lot of your own and different people's wines. All right, so the U.S. market is a top market for white Bordeaux blends. We know that from the numbers and the statistics. The problem is, and I think it's a problem because I'm involved in the wine world, is I don't think enough people know about white Bordeaux and have tasted them. You know, after doing a tasting today and what I know about it, it's a little sad. But I want to ask you guys, why do you think that's the case? Why isn't white Bordeaux more popular or more people drinking it? I mean, is there anything we could do? What's your feelings on that?
I think probably the first thing we have to say is that for most of people, Bordeaux is red. And
so
most,
there's a perception.
Yes. Most of people doesn't know that we produced white wine as Bordeaux. It's only more or less 10% of the area plantation. And what is very interesting, and we need to make people discover that all over the world, is that in Bordeaux, we are able to produce very different kind of wine, type
right.
of wine. Okay. So this is also maybe the reason why it's more difficult for people to have an idea of what a white wine from Bordeaux is exactly, because there are not white Bordeaux, but different kind of. So
right.
It's more difficult, I think.
So Valerie, you at La Tour Martillac, you make red and white wine.
Yes.
But the majority of what you make is red,
which
is what Dr. Valerie alluded to, the perception is.
Yes.
But you're here.
In La Tour Martillac, I make a great wine, which can be kept, aged in
right.
bottle. You know, we age our white wine, during 15 months in the cellar before the bottling. So we do the same process, we age really the white wine in barrels and on the lees.
It's a well-made wine.
And it's a
wine made for aging.
Yes, and we have the different type of soils, so different grapes, Sauvignon and Semillon, on different type of soils. So
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
I want you guys to help me with the geography and the terroir. Corinne, do you make predominantly white wines?
No, red.
You make both.
Yes.
Right.
But the majority is red.
So why do you feel now is the time to get out there and promote the whites? They should get the due they deserve?
Yes, because I think also that Bordeaux has an old-fashioned picture in the mind of the people. And
like a silly male-driven industry or something?
Yes, and we have to go back to notoriety, because in the past Bordeaux whites were sold at more expensive price than the reds.
Right.
And I don't know why things
was
changed.
That just the sweet wines or everything?
No, everything.
Okay.
And but you know, also in the world there are trends, and as the world is totally open, we have to follow the trends too.
Right, right, which I agree. All right, so let's talk about the wines. I want people to get a picture of the region, the geography. I want people to understand where these grapes are grown, the type of soil, and then I want to talk about the type of grapes and their characteristics. So, Dr. Valerie, if people want to sort of imagine where most white wines are grown, they're grown in Bordeaux, south. Because Bordeaux is a big region with a lot of famous areas, Pollac, Saint-Emilion, Médoc. Where is the predominant region for?
Between Bordeaux and Barsac.
Okay.
On the left bank, yes, on the left
bank,
and on the right bank, between Blaye, Saint-Emilion, and what we can say, maybe Sainte-Foy-la-Grande, but nobody knows where is Sainte-Foy-la-Grande, so it's difficult. But maybe we can consider it's the right bank is between Blaye and Saint-Emilion.
Okay.
Maybe. Yes, I think it's okay.
Valerie, your La Tour Martillac is on the...
On the left bank.
Left bank. And Corinne, you are on...
In the middle of nowhere.
No, but is it the right, right bank or middle of nowhere bank? No, which one is it?
The right bank.
Yes. The right bank? Mm-hmm. Okay. So your left bank wine, your right bank wine.
Yes.
Yes.
So it just shows you...
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The diversity.
Yes, but...
We can make one white wine, the boss and the right and the left bank. Yes.
Right. So that's geography, so people can imagine that. It's a fairly wide cut. Let's talk about terroir. Are the soils so different and diverse by region?
Yes.
So let's get specific. We have three different examples. So the type of soils, Valerie, that you're growing your wines in are what?
We have few type of soils. We have limestone and clay and gravels.
Those are, and that makes up most of where the grapes are grown.
And we grow Sémillon and Sauvignon of these two types of soils.
Right.
And the aromas are different if the Sauvignon is planted on limestone or on clay or on gravel.
So it's the grapes are grown on any of those.
Yes, but it's
predominantly limestone, or not necessarily.
So, yes, you need limestone and clay. Yes.
So, Dr. Valerie, this is where you can give us the answer because you consult. Obviously, different wineries in different regions
with different
terroirs and soil. Anything besides limestone, gravel, clay?
It's all these type of soil are very good soil
for the white
grapes, but it's very connected with the climate. If you have a cool climate or a very rainy climate, the soil which be more successful.
Some are better, like
will not be the same.
Soil and rain.
When it rains, the better soil is gravel.
Because it drains.
So
it depends on the soil, the terroir, obviously the weather, and then obviously
exactly
separately and all.
So, and Bordeaux is Atlantic climate, so we have quite a lot of water or rainfall, so we need to plant vine on soil with quite limited water soil reserve.
Right. Got it.
Okay.
And Corinne, your soil makeup for your wines?
We are mostly limestone and clay and flint. And
what was the last one?
Flint. Yeah.
Okay. And those characteristics carry through into the wine, right?
Yes.
You can pick up the limestone and the Sauvignon. You could pick up flint, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
Depending on all of that. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about... So that's what it's growing in. And Dr. Valerie made a good point. The soil is one thing, but certainly the weather can dictate the outcome from vintage to vintage. Let's talk about the grapes. there's basically three grapes that make up white Bordeaux in the Bordeaux region. So ironically, we have three people here. So the homework assignment is everyone gets a grape. So we're going to go around the table and let's talk about the characteristics of each grape and what each grape does to the wine. So as a group, I want you to just answer this. What do you feel is the predominant, most widely used, or important grape in the blend? Is there an answer or not? Is it Sauvignon Blanc or is it?
It can be Sauvignon.
Okay, so there's no answer. All right.
It's no secret that I like being that person who always has some great wine on hand. When I know I've got a few bottles hanging around the kitchen, I feel like I'm ready for anything. If anything is just because I never know when friends will drop by unannounced or because it's even just a Monday. I also hate that last minute run to the store. Wine was never meant to be bought in a hurry. It's funny how we have so much patience growing the grapes, aging the wine, only to feel pressured when you're staring at the shelf. I use Vivino to scan and keep track of my favorites. But lately, I've been stocking up through their web store. They have the best prices and largest online wine inventory, but can also give you personalized recommendations based on bottles you've liked in the past. And I use their premium service for unlimited free shipping. That's an extra bottle's worth of savings on every order. Plus, they have a 30-day free trial. I just grab a few at a time and save them for when the right moment rolls around. You never know when that'll be. Visit vivino.com/grapenation to stock up.
Valerie, your wines, when you blend, are predominantly Sémillon or?
No, much more Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay, so talk to me about Sauvignon Blanc. Tell me a little about the grape and its
character. Yes, but we blend both.
No, I know.
Yes,
we're going to talk about, let's take each grape individually and then we'll talk about blending. What is it about Sauvignon Blanc? It has characteristics.
Yes.
It has a certain nose and all that. Tell me about the grape.
It's a very fruity variety, aromas.
Citrusy?
Yes.
Okay.
Grapefruit. Citrus, all the citrus.
Right.
And you can have some flavors of white peach, of black currant.
How about on the nose?
Yes.
What are typical descriptors on the nose?
It's very fresh, very fruity, like a fresh juice.
It's
sometimes
very distinct, though. I mean, it has the nose, when you smell it, you know it's Sauvignon.
Exotic fruits,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Very recognizable.
Very recognizable,
yes,
that's my
yes.
point. All right, Dr. Valerie, what about Sémillon?
Sémillon is very interesting. It's interesting grape variety. As you probably know, there are not a lot of Sémillon in the world.
Okay.
We have some in Australia and a lot of in Bordeaux. In the past, we had more Sémillon than we had today.
People but pulled it up.
Yes, because the selection was not very well done, and it died. And the people are more interested in aromas. But Sémillon is very interesting. Because sometimes you can confuse with Chardonnay, for example, because we have some very interesting hazelnut notes and toasted and very, and it's very well supported by the freshness of Sauvignon.
Right.
And in the mouth, we have something larger and sweet, more sweet than Sauvignon.
Right. Okay. So that's Sémillon. Corinne, you're left with the most fun of the three and the one used the least, which is Muscadel.
Yes.
Tell me about do you use Muscadel in your wines?
Yes.
Tell me about some of the qualities and characteristics of that.
Yes. So, when I'm making the wine, first of all, I want a verticality. And the verticality is done both with the Sémillon that gives the depth and with the Muscadel that gives the finesse. And the Muscadel is a very difficult variety to grow. quite crazy, late, and so on.
Is that part of the reason that
yes.
you don't see a lot of it?
Yes,
in the blend?
Because it's just, very challenging.
To put it politely, it's a pain in the ass to grow?
I'm difficult too, so I'm very friend with the muscat.
You don't get along? Okay. Yeah. Right.
So,
oh, you relate to it?
Yes, okay. Yes. But, you know, they live their own life. They don't grow as the other.
Right.
They don't need the same thing. But when you understand them, it's much easier.
Right.
And I love them because it's very delicate, very fine, very subtle.
So give me some descriptors. What does it add as far as taste in the nose?
During the vinification, the smell is like old roses, you know,
okay.
with a kind of pepper inside, and also the juice is pink,
right.
And it gives peaches aromas, teas, herbs, and something very fine, very...
Sounds a little exotic. Or different?
No, like something like muscat.
Yes.
Is it like muscat?
Yeah.
All right, so those are the grapes. So now you're working with three grapes, and now it's about blending. Mm-hmm. It's about what the vintage dealt you, you know, how big a crop, how good of a crop, when you picked sweetness, bricks, and all that stuff. So let's talk about... And Valerie, certainly you can address this because you do it. When you blend,
yes.
What is the process in your mind when you're blending?
First of all, we taste all the different lots of wine coming from different plot of the vine.
Right.
So we harvest, we check the maturity of the fruit, and then we decide to pick up the fruit, and we vinificate. Separately, each plot of vines. Then the wine is fermenting in barrels in Automatiac, and we use only 25 oak, not to have too oaky smell into the wine.
So when and you then, say 25% oak,
yeah.
the rest of it is in
new oak.
The new oak. Neutral yeah. or
all the white wine okay. ferment in barrels
right.
with new oak with 25% new oak. We have different, during the blending, we have different wines coming from Sauvignon and Sémillon, and we taste the different wines, and we decide the blend of the first wine, which will be aged a long time in bottle, and the second wine, which will be more fruity, and a wine you can drink more quickly.
Got it. Dr. Valerie, you consult for a lot of people, so people have different...
aesthetical projects.
Well, so, they have different tastes,
yeah,
ideas,
sure.
they have different
sure.
vineyards, so everyone is a new canvas for you.
Of course. So
I guess the first thing you have to do is listen.
First, right? exactly. As wine consultant, we made the same processing that Valerie has just described. We taste all the lots, all... produced on the different plots in the vineyard, Sauvignon and Sémillon, sometimes Muscadel. And then I'm not choosing the wine I prefer by myself, but I'm listening to the owner, and it depends on the wine he loves and he would like to, he wants to do.
So it's their wine, not your wine.
Of course.
Do you have to bite your lip sometimes and go, that's
yes.
not...
Yes, sure, I have to.
They're paying you.
Yes, so. I have to not to say exactly what I prefer, because it's not my job,
right.
but I have to guide,
right.
to help the owner to find the right way to reach the goal he wants to reach, the wine he wants to do, okay?
Is somebody so wrong every now and then?
Yes,
that
sometimes.
You just have to say, listen, I know you know what you want, but this isn't going to end the way it's supposed to.
Sometimes I have to say that's not the right way. You have to, these slots, if you put it in your blend, your wine won't have, for example, the good ability for aging or
right.
something like that.
Right. That makes sense. Corinne, you're... there's two things. The question about the wines that you make, and I want you to address the fact that you grow your wines biodynamically.
Yeah.
Which is harder.
No.
It's not harder?
No. It's different.
It's different. Fair. Yeah. And better.
It's the way we live.
All right, so let's tell people what biodynamic farming is in a grape vineyard.
Yes. So, first of all, of course, we have to be organic.
Right.
But, so it means no chemicals, no, I don't know how to say it in English, and no weed killer.
Pesticides, yeah, chemicals.
But right. We are allowed for certain.
Right.
But the difference between organic point of view and biodynamic one is that maybe you being organic, you have the same way of thinking as with chemicals. You are fighting against a disease. With a biodynamic point of view, you wonder why the disease arrives.
Right.
And you want to have in mind, you have to have in mind always the balance. And
so it's more proactive than reactive.
Yes.
You don't wait for the bug to come and then try to kill them.
No.
You figure out why there are mice or bugs.
Yes, who they are and what it means concerning the problem of either the weather or the terroir.
Right.
But because very often it's a problem in the terroir that asks the disease to come.
Right.
So we give to the terroir what, in fact, the disease gives, without problem for the crop, of course.
Right.
And also during the winter, we give care to the terroir to get this balance, because we are working with four elements. And it's these four elements are useful for everything, to describe the terroir, to describe the variety, to describe the plants, the animals, the body, the wines also. And we want a good balance with the earth element that is linked with the limestone.
Right.
And that gives the depth in the wine. The water element that is linked with the clay and gives the freshness.
Right.
The hair element that is linked with the sand and gives the finesse. And the fire element that is linked with the fruits and the gravels of stone, and that gives the alcohol and the aromas.
Right. A lot to keep an eye on, a lot to manage. When you look at white Bordeaux, there are different styles, drynesses and all of that, right? I mean, and I'm not talking about the sweet wine.
No.
I'm talking about...
Mm-hmm. Dry.
Do all of you strive to make a balanced dry wine? I mean, your wines are, what style? How would you describe it?
A complex wine.
Complex.
A lot of flavors.
But it's categorized as a dry white.
Yes.
Because in the U.S., there's a lot of interest towards sweeter residual sugar whites. They're very popular.
The most important is the taste of the wine, and you have to guess that this wine comes from grapefruit, fruity fruit. So it has to give you an emotion when you taste this wine. It's difficult to explain,
it's okay.
Yes,
it's okay. So the differences in styles, are they that varied? I mean, I think there's a difference in blending, right? The vintage year creates a difference. The blending creates a difference.
Yes.
But I think it's fair for us to say that white Bordeaux are generally a white dry wine driven by the 2-3 grapes.
Why we just use 3 grapes?
Yeah.
Because the when the LC was the LC was built like that, and the soil and the climate is very well for these three grape varieties.
And they were what was planted indigenous to the area and all of that. We talked about this a little before, but the wines are aged, and the aging has a different characteristic, adds a different characteristic. Valerie, you age your wines
in barrels.
In barrels.
On lees, on the total lees.
Right. And Dr. Valerie, you have clients that do not use.
Yes, wood. Some of them used, right. Some of them some not. And the wine they are producing are, of course, very, very different.
Right.
Also, Corinne is making wine without wood.
Yes, no wood at all.
No wood at all.
Yeah.
So do you use stainless steel, concrete? I mean,
the both.
You do both.
Yeah.
Okay. And why do you stay away from wood?
I did it in the past, but to me the result was not what I had in mind when I produced white, because the oaky part was too strong.
Right.
And it's maybe because I have so much muscadel,
right.
And it's so delicate.
That has
so,
something to do
yes,
with it.
Yes, so I enjoy growing grapes, and if for months I don't have the fruity part, it's difficult for me.
Right.
Some grape variety are more adapted to the wood. For me, Semillon is much more in wood than Sauvignon or Muscadel. Muscadel, yes. Because the in the mouth it's quite diluted and not difficult to stand the wood, and Sauvignon the aromas are so sensitive to oxidation,
right.
That in wood it's the fruit is decreasing. More or less. So the new wood, we use it for the Semillon in Bordeaux. Huh?
Yes.
Right. And the old wood, we use it
for the Sauvignon.
For the Sauvignon.
And Valerie, the wood you use basically every year, you use
25%
right.
New oak. So I keep old barrels for,
right.
For vinificate
right.
the Sauvignon.
So it's a similar thing.
Yes.
All right. We're going to wrap up in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you a couple other things. I think white Bordeaux is a delicious wine. I think the three grapes, you know, it has that complexity, it has that mouthfeel, it has the acidity. It's a terrific food wine. So I wouldn't be happy if I didn't ask you guys, I guess personally and overall, let's talk about some good wines, good food, and wine pairings. Is there a classic food and wine pairing for white Bordeaux? Because if you said oysters,
well,
nine out of 10 people would say champagne.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell me, let's go around the table. Tell me some good food pairings.
Scallops.
Scallops?
Yeah.
So we're in seafood, shellfish.
Yeah.
Dr. Valerie?
Grilled fish.
Now, delicate white fish and oily fish? It could handle both?
White fish.
More of a white fish?
Yes, maybe.
Okay.
And also chicken.
Yes.
Chicken. Roasted chicken.
Not so much
white.
Like a duck. A little.
No, chicken.
White
yes.
meat.
Yes.
White meat, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What else, Valerie?
White meat, yes.
White meat?
But, you know, if...
And cheese.
Cheese.
Of course, yeah.
As you like, sometimes. When the wine is very nice, well... When it's good with everything.
Yeah. Drink what you like with what you want. Who cares what anyone else thinks. But there are some classic pairings in all of that. Corinne, you said cheese. Strong cheeses, stinky cheeses, creamy cheeses, or what type of cheeses?
Ghost cheese, of course.
Like in Sancerre.
Yes.
And also the Comté, what we call Comté, is very,
yeah.
very
yes.
nice
yes.
with white
yes.
wines.
That's a perfect
yes.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap up, but before we wrap up, I just want to talk about the wines that we tasted before. Let's start with Corinne. Corinne, you make your own wine, Champ de Trailles, T-R-I-E-L-L-E-S.
Yes.
We tasted what year? what was it, a 2015, 16?
16.
16.
17. 17, I have no crop at all.
Okay. Well, we're in because
of the frost.
Dr. Valerie, you were involved with two wines, was it? The Bonnet,
yes,
and the...
Clos Floridaine, 2015.
Right. Both and were 15?
No, Clos Floridaine was 15 and Chateau Bonnet was 17.
Okay. And
Chateau Bonnet is 1 million bottle and Clos Floridaine is 80,000 bottles, something like
so
that.
So they're fairly well, they make a decent amount and they're available. What about Corinne? How much wine are you making?
On average, for the white, is 20,000.
Okay, so you should be able to find it. And Chateau Latour Martillac, we drank the 15, 16?
15, 15.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is in the market now.
We produce 40,000 bottles.
Okay. All right. Ladies, I want to thank you for sitting down with me.
Thank you.
Educating me and our audience. I just want to tell everyone, if you have a question, suggestion, or wine happening, hit me up at sam@thegrapenation.com. That's sam@thegrapenation.com. Follow us on Facebook at The Grape Nation. I'm going to post on our social media all the wines that we drank today.
Okay.
People may not have heard spelling and all. I'll have vintage years, the wines and all of that.
Okay.
We post on Instagram. We post on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at SBenRuby. And also you can follow the hashtag The Grape Nation. Twitter, we're at BenRuby. And what I will do is, instead of asking you guys, I will post information on each of your wineries' websites. And before I do that,
okay.
I'll check back with you.
Okay,
and all
thank
that.
You.
Because I think we piqued some people's interest. And if they want to go and look for these wines, certainly they'll be able to look them up from this show. So thank you to our guests, Dr. Valerie Levine, Corinne Combe, and Valerie Villard. And thank you to everyone at Heritage Radio. I'm Sam BenRuby, and you've been listening to The Grape Nation.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
For listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.